food, and energy. Even with the diversity shown in today's neighborhood communities, there are still common needs that are shared by everyone. Among these are food, energy, and an economy that works. But while every community shares these needs, how they're met is where the difference between top-down and bottom-up organizations is felt. Food. We've looked at very clear examples of how the globalization of markets, such as tuna and disposable paper products, can devastate local resources through over-exploitation and the absence of sound management. Clearly, when we rely upon global markets for our food, we support the depletion of the limited local resources that make these goods possible. There's another factor that comes into play with these global markets as well. It's the huge carbon footprint that accompanies globalization. For example, when we find blueberries, a warm weather crop, in our local North American supermarkets in the middle of December, it's only because the berries have been grown and shipped from another place where the seasonal climate is the reverse of ours, such as South America. The crop is only possible because the irrigation systems, powered by electricity from fossil fuels, has been used to raise greater number of blueberries to meet the global demand. The quick harvest of these huge crops is accomplished by farm equipment, which also runs on fossil fuels, in place of local laborers harvesting smaller fields by hand. The produce is washed using large amounts of water that's pumped using electricity produced by fossil fuels. The berries are packaged and shipped to North American cities using large commercial planes that burn fossil fuels, and then transported to local markets using commercial trucks that also burn fossil fuels. So while the growing of the berries has benefited South American communities by creating jobs, when we consider the environmental cost of doing so, we have to ask if the joy of having blueberries in the winter is worth the environmental cost that makes it possible. Consuming locally grown produce changes all of this. In our transformed world, communities will rely upon locally grown produce and adjust to the seasonal norms of their locations. The advantages are clear, and we know they're real because they're already working. When we eat locally grown vegetables, for example, we know the food we have on our table is fresh because it's been grown only minutes from where we're eating it. We also know that the money we pay for the food is supporting local jobs and staying in the local community. And we know that the food is healthy because it's been grown from healthy seeds in an organic and non-GMO environment and in soil that's rich with natural minerals and nutrients. Examples of the benefits of this kind of thinking in my own community included avoiding regional health scares such as the E. coli outbreak from tainted spinach in 2007, the salmonella outbreak from tainted tomatoes in 2008, and the listeria outbreak from tainted melons in 2011, among others. I enjoyed eating worry-free salads and produce in the neighborhood cafes of Santa Fe, New Mexico, during each of these health scares because the businesses were already supporting what has been called farm-to-table produce. This is produce that's planted, grown, and harvested within close proximity of the places where it's prepared and served. The notation that states farm-to-table on restaurant menus is becoming more common in many lifestyle-conscious cities throughout America and throughout the world. Energy. Just the way that a bottom-up approach allows local communities to determine the sources of food that best fit their needs, the same is true for energy. While centralized, powerful, and reliable energy sources may be good to run the hospitals, schools, high-rise office buildings, and apartments in some big cities, there are places where local sources of energy can supply, and in some cases replace, the large centralized systems. America's desert Southwest is a perfect example of what I mean here. The Four Corners area of Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, and Utah, for example, is well known for the duration and quality of sunlight that it receives nearly every day of the year. Albuquerque, New Mexico, for example, the largest city in the state, experiences an average of 278 days per year of sunshine, and some of the smaller communities in the northern part of the state receive over 300 days of sun each year. In places like these, it makes perfect sense to use solar energy to supply homes, offices, and small businesses with the electricity they need during the daylight hours that they typically operate. In the same region, there are other supplemental forms of power generation that can be tapped as well. In addition to the sunlight of the Four Corners area, its weather patterns provide conditions that make wind energy a viable alternative to fossil fuels. The good news regarding wind energy is that it's not limited to a particular time of day. It works day and night and in all kinds of weather and temperature extremes, just as long as there's wind. And it doesn't take a lot of wind for the system to work. Commercial wind turbines are about 266 feet high, which places them well above the trees and buildings into the zone where the wind is more consistent. The blades are designed to move easily, even when the wind is only blowing slightly. The Nine Canyon Wind Project, in Washington State, for example, is made of 49 wind turbines. And while the optimal speed for the wind is about 30 miles per hour, these turbines will begin producing electricity with wind speeds as low as 8 miles per hour. There are times when faster isn't always better, and in this case, the turbines will actually shut themselves down when the wind speeds reach higher than 56 miles per hour. From the way we produce our food to where our energy comes from, in a transformed world, the key to meeting our needs is that decisions are made locally. One of the basic tenets of the Burkana model for community resilience described in Chapter 5 is acknowledging that the wisdom to address the community's needs already exists within the community itself. When it comes to decisions about food, energy, and jobs, the advantages of local thinking are clear. With respect to implementing local changes within the larger context of global transformation, the shift is already well underway, as the Nine Canyon Wind Project and many others illustrates.